I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. Remain in me as I remain in you. I am the vine, you are the branches. We've reached this time of year during this season of resurrection where we're reflecting on these beautiful gospel passages. Recently we had, of course, the Good Shepherd. Remain in Jesus' flock, he who is the good shepherd, and today, he who is the vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. Remain in me. If you remain in me, you have life. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me, you can do nothing. So words of comfort today of if we're able to remain in Jesus, having life and bearing fruit, but then also, very serious message today, if we choose not to remain in him, our life not having purpose, it being empty, it withering like a branch that's disconnected from the vine. It withers up and then it gets collected and thrown into the fire, as dead branches do. Are we remaining in Jesus today, who is the vine, the true vine? You know, I think this is one of our greatest struggles here in the United States, remaining in Jesus, being able to abide with him. You see, here in the United States, there's so many distractions, and the evil one always works through distractions. We just have to look at the scripture passages to see that. He's always distracting, he's trying to distract Jesus from the plan of salvation. Jesus is always telling the disciples, no, I have to go to Jerusalem to die. No, I have to do this. No, we have to go to the next town. I have to preach the good news. I have to heal. He's remaining in his Father's will, who is the vine grower. That's what makes him the true vine, the source of salvation and life for us. And just in the chaotic nature of our worlds, as we get pulled into all these different things, we lose our ability to remain in Jesus, abide with him that he might give us life. He might give us focus and purpose for our life. Remember the first time I did a very long extended silent retreat as a seminarian, it was my third year during the summer, and they have this program in Omaha, Nebraska called the Institute for Priestly Formation. And part of this summer, it's a summer of spirituality, growing in prayer, and part of that summer is an 8-day silent retreat. So 8 days, you're complete silence, just with the Lord, a lot of prayer. It was my first experience of a very long time of silence, and I remember how difficult it was to enter into that silence. You know, we're so used to the noise of the world, the noise of our own thoughts, and okay, what do I gotta do next today? Okay, did I remember that? Okay, I gotta remember next week. I gotta call this person. Okay, what about, oh, and then I'm remembering last week. You know, there's that person again that I met. We have this kind of constant, you know, set of thoughts that just are going on in our head throughout the day that oftentimes just keep us from abiding in Jesus. And it's only through silence that the Lord speaks to us. We have to quiet our heart in order to be able to hear him. And I learned that in a very profound way during this retreat. I was really struggling to be with Jesus. I was struggling with my prayer time. I wasn't getting a lot out of it. I just felt kind of like, just kind of running my wheels. I remember there was this garden there at the place where the retreat was that I found a lot of solace in. It was very peaceful, it was very quiet. I started to be able to receive, you know, the Lord's presence in that garden. And in this garden, it was actually on Creighton University where we were at. And I remember in this garden, there was all these squirrels. And the squirrels had gotten so used to the students there that they were very friendly. They would come up pretty much like right next to you expecting food and stuff, because I'm sure the students would have fed them during the year. So they were wanting some food. They would come up right to you and, you know, then they would dart away, and then they would go over here. There was, you know, probably maybe 30 or 40 squirrels in this one garden. And they were a little bit of a distraction almost in prayer. And I felt during prayer the Lord drawing me to reflect on these squirrels. And I was like, what are you talking about, Lord? And as I was praying, I started to realize the Lord was saying, you live your life so much like one of these squirrels, Joseph. You're always darting around, going to the next thing, going to this tree. Okay, now we're going to go over here. Okay, now we're going to try and see if we can find a nut over here. you know? And I got this beautiful image of prayer of the Lord's hands, his hands of love, and kind of this image of me as a squirrel in his hands. Kind of a funny image. But as I prayed on it, I was there in the Lord's hands, and then I would scurry away for a while and collect some nuts, and then I would bring them back into the Lord's hands. And I would scurry away for a while and grab some more nuts and bring them back. And I was like amassing this big collection of nuts, just like squirrels do. You know, they have to scurry around, prepare for the winter, and they're so erratic in their motions, making sure that they have enough that they need for winter. And I felt the Lord just telling me in prayer, you don't need to go find all these nuts. I will provide for you. Remain in me. Receive. Just be with me. Remain in me, I who am the true vine, that you might have life and fruit. And so me and my spiritual director talked a lot during the retreat about that, and my struggle in my life of always feeling like I'm doing that, having to go out and do things, prove myself, earn God's love, do all these things, you know, be good enough, just like a squirrel who's making sure he has everything he needs. And so my spiritual director really encouraging me to grow in that, being willing to just rest in Jesus and receive, abide with him. At the end of my retreat, I found in front of my door where I was staying this big bag of nuts that my spiritual director had bought for me with a little note, remain in the hands of Jesus. A very beautiful image, and I always go back to that in my life, and I've honestly gone back to it a lot during this first 8 months of my priesthood, because I found that in a new way, I'm being challenged in all the busyness of being a priest. All these needs that are very legitimate. All these things I can say yes to. All these things that can distract me. You know, they're good things, and they're part of my ministry. They're part of who I am as a priest and God's son. But they're also a distraction from where I'm called to take my life, which is time of prayer, time of abiding with Jesus. That then, when I go forth to do all these things that I'm called to do, I can then bear fruit, bear life. How are we living our life like a squirrel? Just scurrying around, seeking our security in things other than those hands of love and mercy that will always provide for us. It was interesting, yesterday I was out walking back from the rectory over here to the church, and I saw another squirrel. There was another squirrel over here, and he was darting around. And then out of nowhere, this hawk came down and almost got this squirrel. He was like chasing him around for about a minute or two. It was pretty amazing to watch, and the squirrel just darting in and out. And I was thinking how true it is in our life, too, when we go out from the protecting hands of the Lord's love and mercy, where he just asks us to remain with him, we become exposed to the evil one, that hawk that wants to grab us as we're going after all these nuts in our life, the evil one who wants to prevent us from getting back into the hands of God's loving arms. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me, you can do nothing. The greatest testament of our ability to remain in God is Jesus himself. He's the perfect example of remaining in God. All throughout his life, he's remaining in God the Father's will. The most powerful representation of that, I think, is his walk to the cross, his passion. You know, he tells the disciples, we have to go to Jerusalem because there I will be handed over to the chief priests and die. Peter says, surely you will not. Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Once again, my eyes are on the will of my Father. He gets to Jerusalem. He's arrested. He comes before the chief priests. Are you really the Son of God? You say that I am. Chief priest rips his robes. Why do we have any more need for any more witnesses? The man himself has called himself the Son of God. Jesus before Pilate. They say you're the king of the Jews. Pilate is looking for any reason to release Jesus. Remember, he wants to wash his hands of it. But yet Jesus says, you say that I am, and you will see me coming on the clouds of heaven. My kingdom is not of this world, but of the world to come. All those moments where he's tempted, he's distracted, the evil one is trying to pull him away from the will of the Father, And yet he remains in the Father as we're called to remain in him. And see, that's where the life comes from. It's because Jesus he's lived the life perfectly, remaining in God the Father. That's where his power comes from the cross. He remained in God in the perfect sacrifice of love, giving his life for our redemption. And if we remain in him, we enter through that salvific path of redemption that passes us through this world of sin, this world of distraction, to the world of abiding with God eternally in heaven. Do we remain in Jesus as he chose to remain in the Father's will, so that he could remain with us for all eternity, giving of himself for our salvation? What is the most powerful source of grace of his presence with us? It's the Eucharist. The Eucharist, where we celebrate that one sacrifice of Jesus being able to remain in his Father's will. This is my body given for you. This is my blood offered for you. Do this in memory of me. Remain in me as I remain in you. This has always been a very close place to my heart, and I'm going to share with you guys something. My priesthood holy card, every priest has a priesthood holy card, so a holy card they make at their priesthood, and this is mine. It's a beautiful image of Jesus at the Last Supper and St. John laying his head on Jesus' heart. Very beautiful image of this call Jesus has today to remain in him. And I chose this image because all my life I've struggled to remain in Jesus. You know, felt like I wasn't good enough, felt like I had to earn his love. Just felt that distraction of the world. And this image was just such a powerful representation of me that as a priest, if I'm going to live the life that Jesus has called me to, which is so full of difficulties and burdens, I have to lay my head on Jesus' heart. I have to abide in his Eucharist, which is the perfect representation of his love for us. Have you ever laid your head on someone's chest like St. John did with Jesus? You hear their heartbeat. That's the image of Jesus calling us to himself. We can only hear his heartbeat in the silence, in a place of prayer, where we're away from the distractions of the world. When we lay down all of the nuts that we're trying to collect in our crazy life and just come and remain in the loving arms of the Lord, who wants to love us, who wants us to just rest in him and hear his heartbeat, his love for us, that he offers himself for us each and every day. And then the quote I chose for the holy card, "Behold, I am with you always, even until the end of time." This is what Jesus says as he rises to God the Father. "Behold, I am with you always. I will remain with you for all time. Remain in me as I remain in you." So my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today we have the challenge to remain in Jesus, who every moment is offering himself to us. Do we take time during our day for exclusive time with Jesus, purposeful time with Jesus, time of prayer, 15 minutes, a chair in our house that's our prayer chair that we go to every morning before all the chaos and distraction of the world starts, where we just sit with Jesus, we offer him our lives, our hearts, and then we stop and listen in the silence to receive his love, to hear his heartbeat that speaks to us of his love that was offered on the cross for our salvation. So we ask for that grace today to slow down, to stop our scurrying, our scurrying about, and to come back in the hands of Jesus, the hands of our Lord and our God, and receive his love for us, he who is the true vine, and his Father, who is the vine grower, the source of our life and salvation.